Well, it is my privilege to be here this evening to join the Eastside Vineyard. I'm so excited about you guys. It's great. We needed a vineyard in Sterling Heights. And I just want to say that Dan and Kelly, Pastor Dan and Kelly, they're just wonderful people. And they're great leaders. He's a great man of the Lord. I think I met Dan probably... you lose track of time, probably 3 years ago when he was started coming to some pastoral meetings in the vineyard and kind of throwing around this whole idea of being called by God to plant a church. And so we connected, and I just love Dan, and just getting to learn and understand him more, and our relationship's growing. Just a little bit about me. I actually have a little piece of my heart here in Sterling Heights because I actually worked at Ford Motor Company right down here in 18 and Van Dyke for 14 years. And before the Lord called me into the ministry, while the Lord called me into the ministry, I was working there. And then I got wrapped up in this whole theological study stuff that took me off a path for a long journey. And so then my wife and I planted... as David already mentioned, a church in Elmont, Michigan, and just started out as a small group, and then it went to bi-monthly services in my basement, and then soon we just kind of, the Holy Spirit just kind of birthed the church. I mean, the Lord is just does that, doesn't he? I mean, you read the book of Acts, and he just kind of adds to the number, and so that's just a little bit of my story. And so again, glad to be here today. Bless you guys and all that you're continuing to do. The title of my sermon, some pastors like titles, some don't. I'm not sure what Dan does, but I like them, and so, you know, is I don't know you, and that's probably on the screen already. You guys are a little more high-tech than we are in Elmont. So it's like right in front of me, it's like, how can I miss it? I know you, even though I don't know you, but that's the title of my sermon. Ever been to a department store and run into somebody that gives you your whole life story, and you're standing there, and you begin to beat up with sweat, and they're telling you about where you used to live, and they're telling you all sorts of things about you, and you're like, oh God, help me, who is this person? I had that happen to me actually several times, and my wife Meg has bailed me out several times coming around the corner. And that actually happened to me just a couple of years ago. And, you know, you recognize people's faces. I mean, even probably you recognize some people's faces in the congregation here, but you just don't know their name. And I recognized this guy, and he was just telling me all about me and all about my family. And for a minute there, I thought, man, this guy might be psychic, and I might have to do some deliverance ministry or something on this fella. But it didn't work out that way, and so I was bailed out. Well, praise be to God that there's not a single person in this world that can read your mind. Not a single person in this world that can read your mind. However, there is someone that knows all about you, that no one knows the things about you that he knows. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Ever tried to keep a secret from someone only to be ratted out? Remember your elementary days in school or your teenage years, and say, come here, I gotta tell you something. And you whisper in their ear, and then the whole school knows. But that's not the way our Lord does things. Ever tried to hide from someone in a department store? Tommy the talker? You know, you say, You see him in a distance, or him or her in a distance, and you're like, I just don't got time to engage this person because they got the gift of gab, and I just want to get in here and get my Pepsi and get out or whatever you're getting, and then you roll your grocery cart around the corner, and bam, Tommy Talker's right there in front of you, and you don't know what to do, and you just get engaged in this long conversation, and then you just scratch your head. The saying is true, isn't it? You can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. Osama bin Laden found that out, didn't he? And unfortunately, my friends, there are millions of people trying to hide from God. Trying to hide from God. I heard this saying not too long ago. We have that. People are not running from God. They are chasing after Him, but they just don't know it yet. Do you realize that? Think about that for a minute. They're running after God. They just don't know it yet. Because the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is always passionately pursuing people. Remember the story of the prodigal son? It's Jesus standing on the road saying, come back. Come back to me. God knows everything about you. And He even knows this is kind of hard to comprehend and hard to wrap our minds around, but He says it in Matthew 10:30 and in Luke 12, that He even knows the number of hairs on your head. Can anybody tell me how many number of hairs you have in your head? No? The Lord even says that He knows the stars in the sky by name. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 139, or look at this fancy-dancy PowerPoint that we all have now. And I just want to kind of talk about this and preach through this for a moment. But before we get into God's Word, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts and our minds. Jesus, we just invite Your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be present, Lord, of the giving of Your Word. Let it come out with boldness, Lord. Let it come out with encouragement. Let it come out, Lord, to change our thoughts and our patterns and our minds, Lord Jesus. We thank You for Your Word. We honor it today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at Psalm 139, verses 1 through 3 to start. And David wrote this psalm. And he says, O Lord, You have searched me, and You know me. Now, if God, let me ask you something. If God was to search you right now, what would He find? What would He find? Personal reflection, just for your own selves. What would He find? Scripture says, O Lord, You have searched me. So God is all-knowing. Verse 2 says, You know when I sit and when I rise. Wow. He knew when I rose up this morning. He knows when you're going to sit down tonight. He knows when you're going to lay your head on your pillow to go to sleep and rest for the next day. You perceive my thoughts from afar. If God read your mind right now and searched your thoughts, what would He find? Would it be pleasing unto Him? He knows our thoughts. He knows our plans. He knows our rising. He knows our lying down. It says, and David says, You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar, notice, with all of my ways. All of my ways. It's kind of like the guy in the department store a bit. Yes, God knows everything about you. In fact, He knows your thoughts. He knows your dreams. He knows your plans. And of course, as the Scripture has already said, He knows your coming and going. The question is, do you know God? Do you know God? Do you have a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do you? How can I know God, you may say? Well, the first step is invite Him into your life to be the Lord and Savior. Amen? I'm okay with amens, by the way. Invite Him into your life to be your Lord and Savior. It literally changed my life. It can change yours too. That's the first step in knowing God. How can I know God? Well, another great way of knowing God, believe it or not, is there's 66 books in the Bible that we can read about the living God. You know, and many people like to describe God as the big meanie in the sky, but he's not at all. If you read the whole story, he's a God of love. He's a God of redemption. He's a God that's always searching after us. That's what the story is. It's a story of God redeeming his people no matter how bad we have turned our backs to him, no matter how rotten we have ever acted. He's always chasing after us because you want to know something? He knows you. He knows you well. He knows you're coming and he knows you're going. Question is you, do you know him? I challenge you to turn your thoughts, to turn your dreams, and to turn your passions and your plans over to him. The problem with a lot of people's lives is that they want to be the Lord of their lives. They want to be the Lord of their lives over their frustrations, over their situations. They want to be the Lord of that. You know, I'm the expert, whatever your field, whatever you do for a living, I know how to handle this. God doesn't necessarily need to know. I don't need to ask him. I don't need to pray and stop right now and ask the Lord what I need to do with the situation. I'm the expert in my field, and so I'll just make that decision. Ever been there? Ever done that? And fallen kind of straight on our face because we use our own expert opinion? Why don't we try stopping where we're at when we have challenging situations and praying and then listening to God about how we're supposed to handle that? He knows us. He knows us. People that want to be the Lord of their lives, I like to call them the what I say goes. They have what I say goes syndrome. Instead of what God says goes. You know, in your relationships with people, have you found this to be true? I think we have this in the PowerPoint. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I'm married with children. Is that proverb true? A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Something could come into our marriage in a heartbeat. The question comes, the kids are sitting there, and if we bark back as men and go, ah, or something of that nature, that just will stir it up, right? One theologian calls it the crazy cycle. In your relationships, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. What about this? The tongue, Proverbs 18:21a. The tongue has the power of life and death. You ever know that what comes out of your mouth literally has the power of life and death in your life? You know that? I just so happen to believe what God's word says. So I like to tend to speak good things out of my mouth. And, you know, when things are troublesome and burdensome in my life and the things that I face, I like to speak good things into that situation. In fact, I like to pray, and this is a side note, if you like to try it this week, I like to pray Psalm 91 over my life every single day, and I insert myself into that context. Pray in the Scriptures. Pray in the Scriptures. Listen to what our text says of the day, Psalm 139, verse 4. It says, before a word is on my tongue, you know me completely, O Lord. Before them words are even on our tongue, the Lord knows them. I mean, that amazes me. That's like a wow passage, if you had to describe a passage. It's like a wow passage. Before it's even on my lips, that means when it's in my mind and when it's in the developmental stages, that the Lord knows what I want to say. It's important. What are we thinking? What are we saying? What are we speaking into our lives daily? We run into situations. Growing up, believe it or not, one of my favorite games, and I think some of you would appreciate this, was playing hide-and-go-seek. Not so much the Halo and Call of Duty and the Madden football thing. I mean, that's all, I guess, cool. I like to play hide-and-seek, right? And I was the kind of, you know, hider that would not come out until I was found, and I would stay hiding until I could scare somebody, you know, until somebody would come by, or I'd just stay in there and say, well, where's Brad? And I don't know, and then I'd just scare somebody really good, something like that. That was one of my favorite games growing up, hide and seek. And, you know, we can play hide and seek with God, can't we? We can play hide and seek with God. I mean, I found great places to hide. And sometimes we can have the attitude that, and I know I had this attitude growing up at different times and different stages, is that, you know what? What I did was really, really sinful and bad. I think I'm just going to hide this one from God. Ever think that to yourself? I'm going to hide this one. God, nobody's going to know about this. I'll tell you a little story. I call this my smoking story. My parents, and this is really sinful. This is bad, but it's not that bad. I'm not going to blow up the church or anything. But my parents, they owned some adult foster care homes growing up, and there was some clients of theirs that would smoke, and they would, as I was hanging around the house, they would offer us cigarettes sometimes, and I was, you know, 14, 15, and I just so happened to be, at that time, dating the neighbor girl. And so long story short, me and my friend, way up in Emily City, it's actually, believe it or not, it's north of Elmont, Dave, way up in Emily City, way up in the thumb. Yeah, about 7 miles. We actually went out behind where actually they're having the Eastern Michigan Fair, and we actually like tried to do this smoking thing, and we had this cigarette lighter, and we were trying to do this, and we're lighting up this cigarette, and we're like way out in nowhere. I mean, we're hiding in the weeds, for goodness sake, you know. We're going to get away with this one. We're just going to test this and try it for the first time, and we're going to be part of the cool gang, right? And we're going to hide it from God, because, of course, you know, I just was under the conviction that that wasn't right to do. And so, when you say you're going to hide something from God, normally my mom or dad would know about it within a day or two. Can you attest to that? So I was trying to hide that from God. And I went over to visit my girlfriend, and her mother kindly says, "Come here, Brad." I says, "Oh, what's going on?" I'm thinking, what's she going to say to me, you know? I didn't do anything wrong. And she says, "Did you enjoy that cigarette the other day?" And I'm like, oh, God, help me. And don't tell my mom and dad. Well, that situation all works itself out. But no matter what, no matter how you cut it, no matter how you slice it and dice it, even if mom or dad didn't figure that out, even if she didn't tell them or tell me, God knows. He knows the things, my friends, that what we're doing in our quiet place, in our secret place. He knows our coming and our going and our lying down. Can we actually hide from God? In fact, David begs this question in Psalm 139, where we're at today. And so let's just go a little bit further, and let's read verses 7 through 16. He's like, he's really saying to himself, can I hide from God? I mean, David was a man after God's own heart, but he was pretty messed up at times, and he committed some pretty big sins. You know what? The fact is that David was just like you and me. We're chasing after God's own heart, but you know what? We mess up, we sin, we get confused. And so he poses this question as it's recorded in God's word. Where can I go from your spirit? He's talking about God. God the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Ghost. Where can I go, Lord? Where can I hide from you, God? And he answers his own question because it's rhetorical. He says, where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand, notice what he says, very important, your hand will guide me. I need the Lord to guide me day by day, even sometimes minute by minute. Says, Lord, I can't hide from you. No one can hide from you. But Lord, that's awesome, and you're powerful, and you're all-knowing, and Lord, you're going to guide me. And he goes on to say, your right hand will hold me fast. Ever go to mom and dad's room, or actually run to their room when there was a thunderstorm? And you just have to go and grab a hold of mom or grab a hold of dad or aunt, uncle, whoever, whatever your context was. And when you got in their arms or when you grabbed their hand to cross the street, you knew that you were in a safe place. You know what? With God wrapping his arms around you, guiding you, that's the safest place that you can be because God knows you. He knows you. Goes on to say, David says, verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me. Darkness will hide us, won't it? And the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So if we think that we can even go in the dark and shut off all the lights, or at night when it becomes very, very dark, it's like, I'm just going to hide this from God. I'm just going to put this away, and no one's going to know. The scripture says in the New Testament, in fact, John declares that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In fact, if we allow him, he'll expose even the darkness that sits in every one of us. Even exposing, talking about David this evening, even exposing the darkness in David, and we're going to see that what he says at the end of this text, where he says, search me, O Lord. In verse 13 is one of the most incredible passages in all the Bible. I love it. You need to understand this. You need to know this, that you have a purpose and a plan and a future, an all-knowing God, and he says this, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Guess what? God knows you. He formed you, get this, in your mother's womb. Before the foundation of the world, he knew you. Do you realize that? How awesome that is? What significance that plays a role in our life to know that maybe mom or dad or aunt or uncle have abandoned us, but God says, I've created you. Amen? Created you. And he says this in verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And you know what? When that mean old enemy, the devil, whatever you like to call him, when he comes chirping in on your ears and saying all sorts of negative things and that negative CD that can always play over and over again in my mind, just say this because our words have the power of life and death, and I just so happen to believe God's words say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Enemy, flee from me. Can we just say that together today, tonight, this evening? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's speak it. is speaking God's word. Go ahead. Amen. Now you can speak that in your workplace tomorrow. When things are tough and when the enemy is barking at you or your boss is barking at you or whatever. Saying negative things. You say, I am created by God and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I believe it to be true because the words, my words, have the power of life and death. And I believe it to be true because God's word says it's true. And he goes on. Your works are wonderful. He understands that, you know what? I can't hide from God. David just, I can't hide from God. He says, your works are wonderful. I know that full and well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. Now listen to this. All the days ordained for me. Do you know that each day, each breath, each moment, wherever you go, your steps are ordained by God? Think about that. What you do, where you're at, where you're working right now, whatever context, wherever your world is, your footsteps are ordained by the living God. That's significant. That's important for us to understand that in our Christian walk with the Lord, that our steps are ordained by God. And so that means when we're in those sticky situations, we can say, oh, Lord, you've allowed me to be in this situation, and so I know that you're going to help me because you've ordained this day, for goodness sakes. So pull me out of this mess. Right? All the days are ordained. You ordained all my days, Lord. And I was written in your book before one of them came to be. And I want this to be our closing request to God, our prayer. And that's the conclusion to Psalm 139. I believe it was in the song, one of the songs we sang. And I want this to be our response to God. I want this to be your response to God. And it says this. It's a closing prayer. It's David's closing prayer. It's his reflection on life and his understanding. I cannot go anywhere, God, without you knowing where I am. You created me. Lord, there's no way. I love you. I'm just laying it all down. I'm surrendering my whole life to you. And he concludes with this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Would you say that this evening to yourselves and maybe your quiet time of prayer when we start prayer ministry? Search me. I say that even to the Lord, to myself this evening. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Sometimes my thought patterns just get, they're filled with anxiety. Lots and lots of anxiety. Friends, even fear creeps in. But I say, search me, O Lord. You know my heart. Help my anxious thoughts. In verse 24, see if there are any offensive ways in me and lead me to the way of everlasting. And that's just a snapshot. Just Psalm 139, lead me to everlasting. He's talking about the Messiah to come, Jesus. You see, friends, the Lord says, I know you. Do you know him? Let me close with a word of prayer. Jesus, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for each and every individual that is sitting in a seat tonight. It's not by accident or coincidence that they are here tonight listening to your word, this message, Lord. In fact, Lord, you ordained their steps to be here this evening. And I ask, Lord, that you would blow open the doors in their life, Lord, to have a relationship with you. that you would bless them, Lord. They're rising up and they're lying down, Lord Jesus. Bless them in all their ways, Lord. Touch them when they have anxious thoughts and their spirit may be filled with anxiety and fear. But let them know, Heavenly Father, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.